Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord, I beat the case.
It is Friday, November 19th, TGIF, Menace Nation, the Menaces, Menace in the Morning with Chris Drew, here to talk about all things college football, sports, and really culture, really society, what's going on. And Chris, I want to start, before we get to the weekend, what a great weekend we have in front of us. Obviously, the big matchup, Ohio State, Michigan State, and also our tailgate. Chris is going to be there. I'll be there. We got a bunch of people. I think Johnny the Bullet's coming down from Scarlet and Great. Obviously, Braxton Miller, myself. There'll be other former players there. I know I've already talked to a handful of current players' families that are going to come pregame and hang out with us. But I got Chris. I got to tell you something. I don't know if you paid attention. I thought I'd get a congratulations from you. But we finally won a bet. Morning bets. The Patriots -6.5 was cashed. Yeah. Big time. So really,
and it's funny because in the morning off air, I was like, oh, no, go Falcons.
Well, Matt Ryan's really good, though, by the way. He is really good. And the Falcons are just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But so that hit my bookie play of the week. We got some decent games tonight. Houston and Memphis should be a good game. So I think here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Houston money line, right? And I'm going to take, you know what I might do? I might tease Houston and La Tech. Let's do that. So my bookie play of the week, right? Play of the day, not play of the week. With the promo code Menace, you get free deposit match. If you haven't signed up yet, go sign up. I'm going to tease Houston and La Tech tonight. Tease them down 6 points each and try to get about even money on that baby. And that's what we're riding. That's what we're riding today, Chris. But here's what I want to start the show with, because other sports media won't talk about it, right? They just won't, because, and we'll get to why. And the good news is I take no fucking money from China. I don't buy sneakers. I don't give a fuck about China. If the whole place could blow up, I could give two shits. So Peng Shuai, the Grand Slam double champion women's tennis player, vanished from the public eye after she accused former vice premier Zhang Guali, who is 75, of coercing her into sex at his home. So she tweeted this out, right? Social media post. She posted it and said this guy that was a leader of the Communist Party in China basically forced her to have sex with him. And then since then, it was deleted. She disappeared from the public eye. And then, you know, China has been actively trying to scrub the internet of all mentions or anything about her comments. It's obvious it's working in China. You know, it's disappeared. People in China don't even know that it happened anymore. Mm-hmm. They've been brainwashed. It's like Men in Black. They hit the little flash and everyone went
flash pen.
Yeah. The little flash pen. But it's not working obviously everywhere else. And now it's starting to gain traction because people like Serena Williams, you talk about a badass who doesn't give a shit about China's influence. The opposite of Queen James. She doesn't care. She's saying this is my friend. I want to know where she is. And the Women's Tennis Association is doing the same thing. But coincidentally, mainstream media is silent. Nothing to say about it. And if you really dig deep, it's because China invests so much money in this country so that they can control this country, right? They can control our media. Yeah. They donate to schools so they can control our schools. They donate to, they're heavily involved in sports. I mean, a lot of people talk about the NBA is a big one where, you know, the shut up and dribble crowd, right? Where they only shut up and dribble when it's about China, but not about, you know, our own country, which I don't, you know, I'm not a shut up and dribble person. I think everyone has a platform, has a voice, should use it, but you got to use it and be consistent, right? You can't use your platform to criticize police officers or criticize, you know, social injustice, rape, any of this other stuff. Unless you're going to use it also to criticize stuff that is going on in your own camp, right? Like LeBron James makes millions of dollars on shoes. Those shoes are made in China, where there's unbelievably absurd human rights violations. And if we're not going to say anything about that, then we probably shouldn't say anything about our country, right? If you're making all this money off of human rights violations, and not to get down that tangent, but this tennis thing is fucking terrifying.
Oh yeah, this is absolutely scary. Because we know China's all their social media and everything is super heavily censored, like extremely heavily censored, and so they have done a good job erasing basically her existence. Like, this is a spy movie. The tweet was deleted, and she has not been seen by anybody—not friends, not family, not anybody—since then. If that doesn't terrify you and make you want to cover it, I don't know what will. And it's kind of, we saw the backlash that started with, like, essentially last year with when LeBron James, when they were in China. What happened was the general manager at the time of the Houston Rockets tweeted something that didn't even have anything to do with China. It was like, we stand with so-and-so. And immediately LeBron came out and said, that's irresponsible. Like, you can't do that. Da-da-da-da-da. It's like, oh brother. It's like, if you're going to stand for injustice somewhere, you cannot then support injustice elsewhere. I get if you don't want to talk about it because you're on camp, but to go out there and call someone irresponsible for making it for you know, tweeting something, you know, in essentially, you know, support, like it's injustice. He's not going to support it. And so this is absolutely scary. And I hope that more athletes and more people talk about this, because that's the only way this thing's not going to go away forever, Zach. Because in a couple days, in 3 or 4 days, if something else big happens somewhere else in media, this will be forgotten about. And that is absolutely terrifying.
Well, I mean, it comes down to the other side of the argument is, right, like, we are not the world police, right? You can't be. We got enough issues in our country that we don't need to be policing the world. But if we're going to interject our opinions in certain spaces, we need to.
Yeah, that hasn't stopped us before. We interject our opinions literally everywhere where they're not belong.
People just want consistency. LeBron, just be consistent, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares if you, I mean, no one has a problem with you speaking out and voicing your opinion on things that might be controversial, but let's just be consistent across all boards. And honestly, get your shoes made in the US of A, man. Upcharge them $50 more. Do it in the US of A. Then no human rights violations. Give some people some jobs. It'd be a hell of a deal.
But yeah, I want to say this. I don't want this to come across as like I'm a LeBron hater. Like, I love LeBron, but I think what's kind of missing from this is you can love someone and think someone's great, and then acknowledge the fact that they haven't done everything right. Like, I love LeBron. I'm from Akron, Ohio. He opened up a school literally 5 minutes from me, has done a lot of good in this community. But at the same time, because I have so much love for him, I am going to criticize and point out when he has been inconsistent and done things wrong. And the whole China thing a couple years ago is one of those things.
Yeah, it's sometimes we live in an extremist society where, you know, both can be true, right? like you don't, it doesn't always have to be one side or the other. And I've done a number of off topic shows about, you know, all kinds of things, race relations and police brutality. I've done shows about everything, and it's like, both can be true. And sometimes in this country, it's like, for instance, police, it's like to the George Floyd stuff, and I didn't mean to get down this tangent, but it's like, it's actually the right thing to do to say that was an awful situation and wrong, but it doesn't mean that every cop is a fucking crooked bad guy. Like, both can be true. And same thing with LeBron. Like, you're allowed, I mean, you can like LeBron, be a LeBron fan, like him as a basketball player, like the good stuff he does, and still say, well, but this one thing was completely wrong and fucked up. Like, you're allowed to do that. That's actually forming your own opinion. But for some reason in this country, that's like a lost art. It's like, no.
And I'm allowed to think that Jameson Williams is a monster at Alabama and still think the Ohio State wide receiver room is fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. That, you talk about a conversation that went sideways. So we weren't even going to talk about that, but let's talk about it. So, let me qualify my fucking tweet, Buckeye Nation. Good God. I said all I was trying to point out is that the overwhelming sentiment to Jameson Williams when he left, and I read hundreds of tweets about it.
People were coming after us, dog.
No, I'm talking about before I even tweeted this. I read hundreds of tweets, and it was basically like, man, wish him nothing but the best. And I get it. He went to Alabama, who just beat Ohio State in the playoffs, just beat him and his team in the playoffs. But I mean, we could go down that path too. If you're going to go anywhere from Ohio State, you're going to go to Alabama. Those are the two schools that develop players better than anyone in the country, especially at the receiver position. Like I'm going nowhere else but those two places. But the sentiment was, we wish him nothing but the best. Hope he has success. We understand why he left. Like he wasn't going to play next year. And my only point was, whether you think that's true or not, whether you think he's the fourth best, would have been the fourth best receiver at Ohio State or not, my point was, a lot like Michael Jordan, to a true competitor, that is disrespectful. And it wasn't intended to be disrespectful, but if you're a true competitor and think you're great, that you have greatness inside of you, you're one of the best to ever do it, which you have to have that mentality to play at the level that some of these guys play at, that is disrespectful. And you take offense to that, right? And I already talked about how wrong it was, how he reacted, right? Just coming out and being like, man, I don't, disown me, so I disown them. Like, shut up, Jameson. Jeez. Like, no one disowned you. Christ, don't be dramatic.
I love you, Jameson.
But somehow that tweet, I mean, it led to one girl that listens to the show unfollowed me because I said the F word in a response. I'm like, you can't listen to the podcast and then I tweet an F word in conversation with you and you get offended. Like, I say the F word every fucking day on here. Like, this is how I talk. That's just the authentic me. I'm sorry. It meant no disrespect, but I said the F word. I think I did say, are you on fucking drugs? So maybe that is a little disrespectful, but anyway, well,
she could follow me.
But I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean,
you cannot like Jameson Williams unless you hate the Ohio State receiver room and you hate Brian Hartline and think that they're all fucking idiots. That's the only way you're about to like Jameson Williams.
That's what happened, right? It became like, oh, you're just mad because someone took your job and is doing a better job of it. I was like, no, I'm not.
Brian Hartline. We love Brian Hartline. We love Ohio State.
Whether he's doing a better job than me or not, I don't care. I do care. I hope he is. And I think he is. But that doesn't bother me. Like, people don't understand that Hartline and I were friends. Like, we worked together. We had a relationship. Mm-hmm. When he took over, it wasn't even like Ohio State fans of Jameson Williams. Like, I was like, man, I hope he does a great job. I hope he kills it. And I hope he takes it to another level. Like, that's what I wanted. And people were like, oh, you're just jealous. I'm like, no.
Watching someone who worked under you succeed is literally a huge part of coaching, whether it's players and stuff moving forward. And I've met you. I know the kind of person you are. And that kind of thing has made me genuinely happy, kind of being in that developmental role. And I know it makes you genuinely happy, too. And not to mention, you're an Ohio State guy.
Not only that, but like just personally, selfishly, like personally, right? When I got hired at Ohio State, all you heard about was the receiver room was an absolute clown show, awful, terrible. And so I worked my ass off for 6 years to flip that room. And I did. And if then I was jealous and wanted Hartline to fail, like that would just diminish and ruin everything I worked for too. Like, no, I only want him. I want him to do what he's doing. Take it to another level. And then the next guy, take it to an even another level, because then I feel like, man, I helped do that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I helped do that. And that's the selfish side of it. And further to the point, like I recruited Garrett Wilson. I recruited Chris Olave. Like I want them to have the ultimate success. So obviously I want them to do well and Hartline to do well, but I didn't mean to, again, I'm going on street tangents.
Happy
here.
Friday. We tackled social stuff. We tied it to sports. We're talking receivers, your specialty. Right. It's Chris Olave's last game in the shoe on Saturday, and I'm absolutely thrilled for him. Personally, one of the all-time special Buckeye careers and one that I got to watch start to finish from the block punt, obviously, to the way Dwayne Haskins' year, to just being an absolute monster, the Clemson redemption. I am so, so happy for Chris Olave, who we haven't talked about a lot lately because it's been a lot about Jameson Williams and Garrett. Guys, watch your TVs. Relent. Like, do not look away. Chris Olave's final game in the horseshoe. And if you are going to the game, give CO2 a lot of extra love. Go on, Zach. Next topic.
No, it's a great point. I mean, it's a celebration for a lot of guys that are going to play in the horseshoe for the last time. And as a coach, that's emotional. And never mind as a player. I've never done it as a player. Obviously, I've never been Chris Olave. But but as a coach, it's emotional, man. You just kind of hit me sideways. I didn't even think about that angle. And talking about Chris Olave, like I just the other day on Snapchat memories, I had a memory pop up of from San Diego, California, me, Chris Olave, his mom and dad bowling. When I went out there recruiting, we went bowling and just just to think like that kid back then, like we offered him before any big time place offered him. Mm-hmm. And he was, I mean, Ryan found him. I went out and watched him and loved him and offered him, and the rest is history. And I mean, just going back from that kid, Chris Olave, who transferred schools because his family moved and had to sit out his junior year, which totally ruined his recruiting. Obviously it ended up okay because Ryan found him. If Ryan didn't find him, that kid's playing at Utah, still a great player. You know, mm-hmm. he's playing at one of those smaller West Coast schools. But just to think about the journey that that kid's been through to get to where he is now, from coming on the scene as a freshman with an absolute loaded group of receivers and making the impact he made in the rivalry game, and then all the way to today where he is now one of the best receivers in the country, right? A Biletnikoff Award finalist, going to be a probable first round, maybe early second round draft pick. Either way, going to realize his dreams, and he gets one more shot in the horseshoe. And really, really, I don't know, emotional. So yeah, as a Buckeye mm-hmm. fan, or for me, as someone that knows Chris and his family, like, man, it's going to be emotional and all eyes on the TV. If you're not at the game, hopefully you're at our tailgate watching those TVs, just shameless plug. But it's, you got to send them off the right way, man. These kids that are going to play in their last game, they've done a lot. They've given a lot of great memories to Ohio State fans. And so you got to appreciate them. So this bud's for you, seniors. A little early to have a Budweiser, but this coffee's for you, seniors. So we appreciate you over here at Menace to Sports, and I know Buckeye Nation feels the same way.
Cheers to that. Thank you, Zach. That was awesome, dude. I love Chris Olave, and I'm super excited for him moving forward. I do want to touch one more receiver thing that I thought was interesting. You guys saw on Twitter. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Reports are that he had a fake vaccine card, and I was like laughing a little, not laughing. And of course, it's Antonio freaking Brown, and
of all people, that's
of all people. And I'm not surprised one bit, and I think that's the funniest part of that.
No, not surprised in the least bit. I could really go off on tangents about this one, but I think it's one. I mean, come on, like that's kind of the cowardice way to do it, right? I think Antonio Brown is a complete fucking coward for that. Because if you don't believe in the vaccine, you don't believe in the fact that they're mandating you to do it, then you should fucking stand up, have some nuts, and say that. Not get some fake card made so you can just slip through the cracks and get by. That's just a coward way to do it. Or take the fucking shot. Like, shut up mm-hmm. and take the shot. How about that? Those are, in my opinion, where I come from, the way I was raised, the way I operate, those are my two options. Shut up and take the shot. Or don't, and make sure everybody knows why you disagree with it, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's funny because the NFL came out with a thing basically saying, well, we reviewed all the cards, so we're not really sure. Basically, it was a really good fake.
Yeah, but it's a cowardice to me. It's complete cowardice. So that's on a personal level, individual level. That's what I believe about Antonio Brown. I think that's cowardice. He's got millions of dollars. Like, go ahead, man. If you believe so strongly that it's bullshit that players are getting mandated to take a vaccine, stand up and tell people, man. You're going to go through the you believe so strongly about not taking this vaccine that you're going to go out of your way to get a really, really good fake vaccination card made? No, man, come on. You got to have bigger balls than that. Be a man. Don't be a pussy. So that's the first part. Now, the second part, I could go on forever about. It's fucking criminal. It's wrong. It's against everything this country was founded on to mandate anybody to get anything shot in their body. It's bullshit. It's a money grab. It's fucking cowardice. And it is the most corrupt thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Because I don't care what anybody says. The vaccine, anybody with a brain, and I can't understand people that don't view it this way. The vaccine, the only thing that they even say, I mean, Fauci, the CDC, they all have said what the vaccine does is it gives you, an individual, a better chance to not have severe symptoms, die, or go to the hospital. That is the effect. That is what it is effective at doing. What it doesn't do is do anything for anyone else. Me taking the shot, Chris, cannot help you in any way because I can still get it just as easy. Mm-hmm. I can still pass it to you just as easy. So if you didn't get the vaccine and I got the vaccine and I get it and give it to you, you're fucked the same as you were if I didn't get the vaccine. So it doesn't make any sense why these players are getting forced to get a shot. For what? To protect themselves? Fuck you. That's my choice to protect myself, not yours, NFL. So I'm not trying to make this look, anti-vax, because I'm not anti-vax. It's the problem is you going back to what you said about LeBron James. Like you don't have to be both, right? You can see it in your own lens with your own reality. Like I believe in vaccines. I don't know that I necessarily believe in this one, but I'm not like someone that's pounding the table saying, don't get vaccinated. No, I'm not going to. And you're not going to tell me to. That's where I stand. Like, let me,
you know, you're right. It's like if you put on Twitter that you like waffles, someone be like, oh, so you fucking hate pancakes? Oh, dude, what a scumbag. What a scumbag. Right. I do want to jump forward. Thank you for that. I kind of set that up, lobbed it. I felt like, you know, Chris Paul and your Blake Griffin, and you definitely slammed that one home. We do have a cool slate of games this weekend. Some interesting things on the national scene. I don't know if any of you guys have watched Wake Forest this year, but Wake Forest is playing Clemson. Wake Forest is top 10 in the country. And guess what? Clemson is 4.5-point favorite, Zach. So I think that's an interesting one, obviously, because I think Ohio State broke Clemson. Oh, shit, dude. I wanted to ask you, did you see Dabo Sweeney's comments about he's no longer participating in the coaches poll? Because
it's hilarious. Just first and foremost, and I've said this on my show a number of times, these coaches don't participate in the coaches poll anyways. Mm-hmm. They don't, unless they want to interject their opinion. The sports information director's Jerry Emig at Ohio State, right? Jerry Emig is the sports information director. He's the liaison between media and the coach, Ryan Day. And that's the guy that it's his job to make sure that Ryan Day sends in his coaches poll every week, right? So he brings it into Ryan. He fills it out. Ryan doesn't have time to sit there and like say, all right, who should be number one? Write it in. Georgia. Who should be number two? Let's write it in. Buckeyes, right? He didn't have time to do that. So Jerry Emig will fill it out, set it on Ryan's desk. Ryan will come in, and if he really wants to, he'll look at it briefly. Probably won't even look at it. We'll just leave it there, and then when it's time to send it in, Jerry Emig will come back in, grab it, send it in. So sports information directors are the ones voting, unless, like Dabo did last year, as he goes and looks at it, he goes, no, fuck that, change that, put Ohio State at 11, fuck the Buckeye, right? And then he interjected himself. But he's making this all about him. This is all a publicity stunt. Now it's like, I refuse to participate. It's like, bitch, you never participated once until one time, and they called your ass out, bent you over on a field, and spanked that ass, and now your butt hurt about it. Like, shut up, Dabo. You never filled it out before, and you're just mad that the Buckeyes broke your fucking fragile ass program. Take your ass back down south, boy.
Oh, shucks, go Bucks.
Oh, shucks, go Bucks. Clown ass. Oh.
Also in the national landscape, Oregon this week, you know, quietly 7:30 p.m. Oregon has Utah, Zach, and me and you both are, at least I don't want to speak for both of us, but I believe we're both on the same page. We think Oregon loses one of these to Utah.
Yeah, I think it's this one. I do. Mm-hmm. I like Utah's defense. Their quarterback is a more complete quarterback throwing the ball. I really like their run game. What I wasn't aware of until I really studied them this week, because I haven't studied Utah much. I've studied Oregon, but I haven't studied Utah much until this week. I didn't realize they had TJ Pledger, the kid from Oklahoma. I didn't realize he transferred there. He's one of their two running backs. So I like Utah. I mean, I know they've gone through unbelievable adversity this year. I was just listening to Kyle Whittingham they've lost two players. Two players have died in the last year. So they've been through a bunch of adversity, but anyways, not that is why they're going to win or lose. But I really like the Utah team. I think they're coming to their own, and they're at home. I think they win this one, and then I think Oregon gets the rematch in the Pac-12 championship game to be Pac-12 champs. But I'm with you. I think Utah wins the game.
And it's interesting because this game would be a pick 'em, but it is Utah at home. And so Utah is now, minus three. So that this is an interesting one. And this is not one that we followed Vegas on, Zach. This is one that, you know, we both took time to evaluate them earlier in the year. And we both felt like Utah was a really good team that presented some matchup issues for Oregon. And obviously for Ohio State fans, you know, to make the committee's job easier, if Oregon loses, that made things better. And then I would love to debate, a two-loss Oregon versus Cincinnati or two-loss Alabama versus Cincinnati. I do have Alabama on upset alert. I now take that back. I don't think they're going to get upset this weekend. I do think it should.
You are like fucking France, flip flopping back and forth. Go ahead. Who else is going to lose but might win?
Well, hey, look, it's like 50-50 odds. You know what? Fuck it. Arkansas wins this weekend. They win by three.
Look at you. I got you to switch back that quick. You're too easy to manipulate.
Okay. You know, I work at Crab. You know, I work at Krusty Krab. I flip patties all the time, and that's what we're doing. And that's kind of the extent of the bigger games this weekend. And obviously, I mean, the marquee game is going to be Michigan State versus Ohio State. Zach, what are you expecting?
Michigan State. So I broke it down pretty heavy on the show last night, but I think Ohio State can really handle this game. I think I'm most excited to see. I'm expecting a performance a lot like the 2014 Wisconsin performance on defense. I'm not saying we're going to blank Michigan State. I'm not saying it's going to be 59-0, but just how the defense in 2014 was able to shut down Melvin Gordon. I think that's going to be the key here. And I studied the Indiana game and the Nebraska game, because those two games, Kenneth Walker III didn't do much at all. And when you watch those games, it was for different reasons. But I think the biggest thing is the interior O-line for Michigan State is fucking terrible. They're garbage. They're awful. And so Haskell Garrett, Tylenol Williams, my man Tyleek, they need to have, and Teron Vincent, the whole crew of D tackles, they need to have a big day and just beat the brakes off of those guards in that center. The center is the worst center in the Big Ten, I'm convinced. I haven't really studied Rutgers center, but that might be the conversation. one of those two is the worst. So I think that's they got it. They got to stop Kenneth Walker III, and that's how they're going to have to do it. Indiana was different. Indiana just loaded the box with like 100 fucking guys, so they had free hitters and made Peyton Thorne throw the ball, and he did that to win the game. So I think that's going to be the key: load the box to stop, you know, the guy that single-handedly beat Michigan, and then make Peyton Thorne throw it. And then the corner's got to show up, right? Cameron Brown has the lowest completion percentage in the country for any corner.
Should have had that pick last week too, right? Yeah, should have had that pick last week too.
And so I'm excited to watch it. And Michigan State, they launch it down the field, man. They're a shot offense. So we'll see what these corners are all about. I think you're going to learn a lot, but I think Ohio State covers and wins. You know, not easily, but I think it'll be a good win for the Buckeyes.
I had a similar assessment about the running game, kind of about shutting things down. I didn't go as far to say I expect like a performance against Wisconsin, but this game kind of feels like to me the Saquon Barkley Penn State years, how we were always able to shut him down and kind of make things happen. And then obviously Penn State, you know, the good old arm punt offense, kind of with Trace McSorley taking shots downfield. One more game that I do have circled this week, Cincinnati is playing SMU, and they are Cincinnati's 11-point favorites. You know, the Fighting Fickles got to keep this thing going. If they want to have a shot at the playoff, which I think they should, if for them to make the committee's job easier, it would be nice for them to put this team away. But this is a very solid SMU team.
Yeah, they're solid. I think unfortunately, so they lost two games back to back on the road. This is another road game in Cincinnati, in Nippert Stadium, the Nippert. and they've played pretty much all close games. I mean, they kind of blew out UCF last weekend, but I mean, they lost a 3-point game at Memphis. They lost a 7-point game at Houston. And I think Houston is, you know, the real threat to Cincinnati season here at the end in the AAC championship game. Because I think the Houston team's a really solid team. So this is not going to be a cakewalk for Cincinnati. I think they're a good enough football team to come in Nippert and give Cincinnati some problems. So Cincinnati's got to show up and play. This game and the Houston game are the ones that I circled early on and said, these are the ones that could really, you know, piss on the parade down in Luke Fickle's program. They could upset the Power Five breakers, right? The playoff contenders from the Group of Five. So I'm it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's a 3:30 game if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And my TV is going to be tuned in. I don't care. I know who else is playing.
So there we go. That is kind of the final wrap. I do my last thing about the Ohio State game. I am excited to see Quinn Ewers. Anyway, moving on. Dude, tailgate. I'll be there. You'll be there. You said I know that Johnny will be there. Johnny Bullitt. I'm excited, man. Let them know how they can get tickets if they want to come out.
Yeah, definitely go to Eventbrite or go to my social media or Braxton's social media. It's all over the place. But if you go to Eventbrite and type in charging on lane with a one as the I, which is Braxton's brand, we'll be out there, man. Got a bunch of great food, great bar set up. We just trying to raise money for Braxton's foundation, my grandfather's foundation, the Zone 6 Fund, which I talked about, and trying to do some good things. And you know what else, Chris? Not just trying to raise money for charity. We're trying to have a good fucking time, too.
Right.
Trying to have a great time. Watch the Buckeyes slap some ass and enjoy our weekend, man. It's getting cold, getting winter. Time to go out with a bang. Last home game, might as well party it up, right?
And this would be like one of the, this would be the last chance of the year that you have to find me and Zach and find out about some off the record stuff that that we're not allowed to talk about yet.
For
I'm just
sure.
fucking with you. I don't have anything off the record.
Hey, I'll tell you anything I'm fucking right now. I don't care. But anyway, we appreciate you. We'll see you on Monday, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at the tailgate. Menace out. Menace Nation, it's Menace morning time.
Wake 'em up. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. Tryna hide from the camera, I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big,
couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on egg today.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma put up my star. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be calling.